Wow. All right. I'm going to take you into the way back in time, back before a lot of the people who've already spoken were born. Okay. So I'm going back to 1968. Oh, my. That was before Nixon was elected. Okay. Summertime of 1968, I was 17. Now, in order to have you understand how incredibly stupid I was back then, I need to give you kind of a history of my sex education. Pretty limited. Okay. All right. One of four girls, but anyway, I was the oldest, and anybody who's the oldest in the family knows you have to teach your parents how to parent. Anyway, so my mother wasn't really trained yet in how to teach young ladies anything about sex. So one day I go into my room, I'm about 12 years old, and there is the book, the picture book, where I'm supposed to learn about the period and the curse or whatever you want to call it back then. The trouble was, it was illustrated, I knew that I was going to lay an egg every month. It didn't say anything about the scale of the egg, okay? Literally, for months into my menstrual cycles, I was looking for the egg. If you think about it, it's logical. We bled. I mean, of course you'd bleed if you were laying an egg every month. Okay. I managed to get past that. I think I understood finally. Somebody said, you'll never find it. Okay, so, all right. So I had a friend, thank God I had a friend when I was 11 whose father was a doctor, and we whispered to each other. She did have a brother, but she wasn't going to show him off. Okay, so I didn't learn about sex that way. But I said, let's go down and look at the medical books. Oh, my God. If you ever look at medical books of doctors, what are you looking at? You're looking at the diseases, the deformities. I will never forget the picture of the balls that were swollen to the side. Oh, my God. It was... I was so scared of the whole process after looking at these things that were... Anyway... All right, so that was my other thing. Then I went to a Bryn Mawr school, and some of you are out there. Our sex education back in 1968, 1967, well, they decided. Now, we were in, I know gals who now know about Bryn Mawr, you can actually wear nice, attractive things. Well, they made sure we never thought about sex. So they put us into brown jumpers. I didn't have saddle shoes. I would have loved to have saddle shoes. Brown clodhoppers, brown socks, or short white socks if we really were stylish, and then you had your brown sweater. I didn't wear brown for at least 20 years after I left Bryn Mawr. So, I mean, you really felt sexless. It was just a jumper. Oh, my God. Anyway, I had a boyfriend, okay? Started to feel like, wow, there is sex out there. And I knew all about it from Bryn Mawr, of course. There was a man who lived under the bridge, and we were warned if you walked across the bridge, you had to walk very quickly because sometimes he would expose himself. The trouble was I missed the one day that he found his way to the girls' locker room, or somebody did, and everybody talked about it for weeks afterwards. Did you see what he looked like? All this stuff. Anyway, I missed that. So I missed that part of sex education. The only other part of sex education that Bryn Mawr gave us was to show us a film of a woman having a baby. A classmate passed out. There were a lot of tears. I can still hear the screaming of the woman in labor. I think that was to tell us not to do the nasty. Okay. That's as far as we got for sex education in Bryn Mawr. So I was a reader, so I loved Margaret Mead. She wrote Coming of Age in Samoa, so I knew all about the first time when you had sex. I knew what would happen. I knew my father wasn't going to hold up the bloodied sheet and prove that I was a virgin. I knew that wasn't going to happen. But I figured it was going to be like that. Well, my boyfriend and I were very serious about each other, and we were left alone a lot, and we knew not to do certain things because we didn't want to do certain things because we were good people, right? I was going to be president of the student government. I was a goody-two-shoes personified. All right. So I knew not to do certain things. So certain parts weren't supposed to go into certain other parts. And but one day, and we had been heavy into petting and everything, and everything was very wet. And his thing disappeared into my thing. Completely. Oh my God, what did we just do? So we got up and we looked at the bed sheets. I said, no, we didn't do it because there's no blood. He said, well, but where did it go? And I sat there and I said, I we need a picture. We need a book. We need something to look at. And so we went down to his mother's bathroom. And I said, I remember in my box of Tampax, there's a picture. Let's look at the picture. So we found a box, and we opened it up, and we unfolded it, and we looked at the picture, and we turned it in all different directions. And we kept looking and thinking, I think that's the only one place it could go. So I was a very careful student. You had to go back and do it again to make sure it was done right. Yes, we did. We went back there again. Now, regretfully, somebody has asked me, well, weren't you worried about getting pregnant? Well, no, I wasn't. But I made the mistake of writing it in my diary. And my mother found my diary. And she came to my summer job at work and pulled me out. And I thought, oh, my God, what happened? She says, I read your diary. Anybody who knows my mother knows what that was like. I said, oh, okay. She said, have you had your period? I said, well, no, I haven't. She said, well, we're going to take care of this. Well, it was only like a day late or something. This is back in 1968. Abortions were illegal, but my mother's brother was a doctor. And so I didn't know Mom got all frustrated and worried about this. I wasn't worried about it. I was having a good time. I didn't worry about anything. She came up like a week later and said, well, it's all arranged. You're on the doctor, the operations. I said, what? And I said, well, I've had my period. She says, well, you didn't tell me. I said, I didn't think to tell you. She says, she had taken care of it. Now, you think that was bad? And this is where it gets a little dark, and I'm sorry, and I apologize to my sisters who are out there. But when my father found out, this was not a good time period to be doing things like this. And he called me a slut, and he said, no, boy, well, you're ruined now, and no, boy, you'll get this reputation, and you are really in deep trouble now about this. And I sat there, and it's not good at all. And you know what my stupid solution was? Well, the only way I can fix it in my mind not to feel like a slut is to marry the person you had sex with. And we did, and we had two children, but it didn't work out for a lot of reasons. You shouldn't get married so you don't feel like a slut, okay? Not good. But what I want to end this on is a really good note, because I think I should do a little PR for Tampax. Tampax did two things. One, and young ladies all out there know what I mean, by using Tampax, I had a pain-free first time, right? And two, thank you for the picture. I really appreciate it. So thank you.